thank you for attending the meeting, very important meeting. National service meetings are always important. All the meetings of national service. I'm having two apologies, and that is from Mr. the Department of National Services to go through what they think. We are going to run the meeting in this fashion, that the department, state law advisor, you are here now, right? Parliament legal advisor, Mr. Vahira, and Nadia, our researcher. Members are free also to participate, to ask questions for clarification, but I think that out of this public hearing, we must, and we are taking it very serious, the input from the public, because they must also live with this bill or law when we have passed it. So we are taking it very serious, each and everything that they put before us on Tuesday. So I'm going to ask the department to take us through and comment on the things that they reflect. The same with the state law advisor and Parliament's advisor and our researcher, Nadia. Commissioner, maybe you are having opening remarks. Please.
I think my team has been working with the information throughout. I will be, I think, out of place if I should say anything because I've not been with them. I've not been with them, so I'd rather allow them to lead the process and also for me to get updated in the process fully. But just to say thanks for having allowed us to be part of the process so far. But I think the DC legal and special person in the team leader.
Thank you and good morning, Chairperson and Honourable Members. The Department has prepared a response to the submissions made by different organizations. The format that we followed, Chairperson, is we dealt with the submissions clause by clause, and where organizations did not make submissions, we indicated as such. Chairperson, I'd like to inform the committee at this stage that I'm not where I may hand over to the Chairperson to continue. Starting with clause 1, clause 1, section 1, input by CSPRI, which is Civil Society Prison Reform Initiative, which was facilitated by Mr. Lucas Munti. The submissions were made about the definition of care, correctional center, inmate offender, and unsentenced offender, and definitions to be amended to reflect the following categories: prisoner awaiting trial, detainees, prisoners to be categorized into awaiting trial detainees, unconvicted, convicted, let me start from this one. This is to be amended to reflect the following categories of prisoners: awaiting trial detainees, being unconvicted, convicted but not sentenced prisoners, probationers, and parolees. Clarification on basic needs, and also the question about the translation in official languages. The department accepts the submission with regard to the definition, and is working with the Chief State Law Advisor's Office to craft the definitions as the submission of this organization. However, the department changed the following categories as already indicated to the committee in previous meetings. Prisoner, which will be replaced by inmate, sentence offender, and unsentenced offender. The translation will be attended to by the expert who will address the issue of definition. Submissions by the CSVR. Change of terminology, prisoner to offender not supported as it alleged to be stigmatizing. The department submits that this is in line with the white paper, therefore it will change the terminology of offender. Submission by Professor Derek van Zylsmith. He also referred to the definition of care needs-based programs, demand supervision, correction, and development also to be provided. We've already commented with regard to the comments made by Mr. Lucas Mundi. The comments by the conflict resolution, which was represented by Ms. Razan Bailey, supports the formulation of the formalization of new terminology, and the department notes the support. So 7, section 7, increasing of regulation 1, subsection 8, into the principal act under section 7. The department response as follows: that the act provides for separation of children from adults. According to the constitution, children are those under the age of 18 years. It is not necessary to have this in the act as it is already provided for in the regulation, which is the internal management instrument. The bill should describe conditions of awaiting trial sessions in which children should be detained, or that the minister be mandated to develop regulations that would set the minimum standards for the detention or conditions of children. That's what Lucas Lenzing's organization were proposing, and our report is already indicated that provided for in our regulations, and it's not necessary to issue the act. Plus, other organizations did not make submissions on this one. Clause 13, section 17, section 13, CSPRI, submission was that in order to cater for organizations fearing to report human rights violations and dishonest and corrupt activities, the bill should provide for development of regulatory frameworks that would protect civil society organizations from unreasonable, arbitrary, or unfounded denial of access to prisons, whilst at the same time providing for the development of a framework by the DCS regulating access to prisons by civil society organizations. The further submission in this regard was that the appeal or review for denial of access to such organizations by the commissioner should be made to the inspecting judge. The department's response in this regard is that we've already agreed to that the bill will provide for registration and screening of such organizations. It will be the section will be provided for in the revised bill that will be submitted to the committee on Tuesday. Other organizations did not make submissions on this clause. Clause 16, section 16, CSPRI made submissions that corrections and development programs should be defined. Conflict resolution supports the clause as it entrenches the commitment of the DCS towards rehabilitation of offenders. Their submission is noted, and with regard to CSPRI, about the definition, we've already addressed this issue in clause 1, section 1. Clause 10, section 20. Submissions by CSPRI are that categorical cut-off point in the Act and in the bill does not enable the state to serve the best interests of the child, but rather provide bureaucratic security. Best interest of the child will be better served in such instances if these are dealt with on a case-by-case basis and in accordance with the objectives of the Children's Act. This is a clause that relates to the reduction of age from 5 years to 2 years. The response of the department in this regard is that they accept the submissions by CSPRI The government has requested the Chief Legal Advisor's Office to formulate a revised amendment which will provide for the best interest of the child to be taken into account, and further that upon admission of such a female inmate, that is the one bringing with correctional center a child, the department must immediately, in conjunction with the Department of Social Development, facilitate the process for proper placement of the child so admitted with the mother. The intention is not to get rid of the child immediately. Immediately he or she turns the age of 2 years without taking into consideration other factors. The revised bill will ensure that such considerations are covered. In other words, the department does not intend that immediately at the age of 2 years the child will be cast out of the correctional center. Proper measures will be taken, and immediately upon admission of the mother with the children, the department will take steps to ensure that at the time when the child reaches age of 2, proper arrangements will have been made. And in a case where the mother is incarcerated, for instance, at the time when the child is maybe, for instance, 1.5 years, it doesn't mean that immediately when he or she reaches 2 years, within 6 months, without the proper arrangements being made, the child will be cut out of the correctional center. Proper steps will be taken to ensure that the child's best interests are taken into consideration. Submissions by CSVR. They're supporting the amendment, but how the measure should be implemented to improve the quality and amount of contact that children are able to have with an incarcerated mother. We've already commented to that one. CFGR further submits that a non-custodial sentence should be the first option for caregiving mothers, and that DCS and social development to make adequate visitation arrangements for children of imprisoned mothers and increase time for mother-child visitation. The department has already responded to that one. With regard to the issue of non-custodial sentences, this is within the mandate of the Department of Justice. The department does not have control over that. Submissions by the South African Human Rights Commission. They also indicated that the best interest of the child should be a determining factor, and that each case must be dealt individually. We've noted their comments, and we've already submitted a response when we dealt with the submissions by the CSTRI. Submissions by NICO, written submissions, but they did not make verbal presentations to the committee. They're also supporting the reduction of 5 years to 2 years. Clause 24, section 24, submission by CSPRI. Clarification was sought for the meaning of section 24, subsection 3B of the Act. After deliberations in the committee, the department advised the committee that this subsection will be substituted. The revised bill to be submitted to the committee on Tuesday will reflect that in the case of repeated or serious offences, an inmate may be segregated in order to be subjected to programs, and further that this will be coupled with a loss of amenities and gratuity. Other organizations did not make submissions in this regard. Section 25. Submissions by the CSTRI. The division of a penalty of solitary confinement and replacement is detained in a single cell. Definition of solitary confinement still retained under definition. Reporting and obtaining approval from the inspecting judge before detention in a single cell is impractical and unnecessary. They are proposing that clause 25 should be omitted from the bill and section 25 be retained as unchanged. I'm just summarizing the submissions. The department accepts the proposal. Provision will be made in the bill for the deletion of the definition of solitary confinement. The department also has already advised the committee about the revised amendments of section 24, 25, and 18 as proposed by CSPRI. The state law advisor's office has been requested to assist in this regard. Submissions by the 8 Law Project and TAC, represented by Mr. Jonathan Becker. Amendments relating to solitary confinement, substituted with detention in a single cell provides for segregation to correct offensive behavior and seem not to protect the other inmates. Provisions regarding segregation seem to suggest broader powers of disciplinary officials in relation to detention in a single cell. The department has already indicated how this clause will be revised in the bill that will be submitted to the committee. Submission by Professor Jeff Van Bale-Smith. He submitted the amendment of Section 25 would marry the distinction between solitary confinement and segregation in terms of Section 30 and detention in a single cell in terms of Section 7, Subsection 2E. Submit that only when detention in a single cell is combined with other restrictions, such as lack of association, does it become solitary confinement. And Sarah submitted that can solitary confinement be maintained. The department's response is that the term solitary confinement will be removed as already indicated in the bill. This is in order to align the terminology with the white paper. And with regard to distinction between solitary confinement for penalty and for other purposes, it will also be provided for in the revised bill. Clause 30, Section 30. We've already addressed this when we dealt with Clause 25. Other organizations do not make submissions. It's only CSPRI who make submissions in this regard. Clause 31, Section 31, Subsection 2. CSPRI supported the amendment. Other organizations did not make submissions in this regard. The support is noted. Clause 35, Section 37. No submissions were made in this regard. Clause 36, Section 38. CS Center for Conflict Resolution, represented by Ms. Bailey, submitted that amendments are welcome as they highlight the focus of the DCS on rehabilitation of offenders. Support is noted. Civil Society Prison Reform Initiative submitted that the exclusion of prisoners serving a sentence of 24 months from serving something. I think the text got mixed up. Law 3338. No, I understand. The submission made by CSPRI on this clause is that exclusion of prisoners serving a sentence of less than 24 months from a sentence plan is not supported. The same submission was made by the South African Human Rights Commission in that it does not support the amendment. Which excludes other prisoner sentenced to less than 24 months from benefiting from the sentence plan. However, that this would not be in line with what the white paper provides. The department's response in this regard is that necessary amendments. These amendments are necessary as sentences of less than 24 months are meant to be a deterring factor. In most cases, and at any rate, those offenders who are serving less than 24 months will still be participating in such programs. In other words, sentences of more than 24 months, we consider the Mercy Department where we have to make a sentence plan to ensure that such sentence offenders follow the programs in order to rehabilitate them. We are not saying that those who are serving less than 24 months may not be rehabilitated, but we see this by virtue of the type of sentence that is more offended in the current sector. Clause 38, section 40. CFTRI's submission is that the provision of market-related skills in order to be gainfully employed upon release is a detailed description in the legislation, and it will also expose the department to liabilities if it is not done to provide work that develops market-related skills. The submission by CFTRI is accepted. The revised bill proposes the division of market-related, and only the word skills will be retained in the amendment. SACO submitted that for the formation of prisoners union to ensure access to decent working conditions, living wages, labor and human rights protection. It also calls for industrialization of the correctional services. The department rejects this submission. There is no employer-employee relationship between the department and inmates. The objective of the correctional services is very clear in the Act. Other organizations did not make submissions in this regard. I'll ask Mr. Paxton to continue with the...
Thank you, Chairperson. We continue then with Clause 59, Section 41. In this regard, we had submission from the 8th Law Project, the CHC. The submission was that the village silent on the continuity of care after release, such as the case of when an inmate accessing ARV treatment within the correctional center and is released into the community with limited access. But there was also a submission by CSTRI, which referred to the needs-based program to be omitted from the bill, or DCS to clarify the needs-based program. No submissions from the other organizations. The response from the department is that it's not the responsibility of the DCS, but that of the Department of Health. However, the department manages the releases in such a way that it strives to minimize an interruption of treatment of the patient. As to the other submission, the department is aiming to this and it will appear in the revised bill. You also see our comments have already were submitted here. Clause 40, section 42, CSTRI made a submission. There was asked for clarification of a report by the Coast Management Committee to the National Commission and not the Area Commission, as this location is administrative duty on the Office of the National Commissioner. The response of the department is that this will bring consistency in the Act and that the National Commission will delegate it to an appropriate level, whereas as it currently speaks at that level of the Area Commissioner. Then there was also submission by the Center for Conflict Resolution. They support the amendment of Section 42 in terms of which interviews are held as a regulating result that is referring to the CMC seeing offenders at regular intervals. They also highlighted the issue of overcrowding. Overcrowding that is entering service delivery. The department noted this submission. Clause 43, Section 45. Submission by the 8th Law Project. So it says that correctional medical officers are not provided with any guidance as how to the health status examination should take place under the needs and that there's a reference to the Health Act that is determined which is incorrect as the Act was repealed. The department does not agree with the first part of the submission as such examination, that is an examination on the release for the health status is part and parcel of the medical practitioner's training. The incorrect references will be corrected in the bill. There were no submissions from the other organizations. Clause 45, Section 50, the submission from CSTRI. If the definition of the inmate refers to convicted or not sentenced or not and detained in prison,
table will not be possible for all computers and all business persons to serve their service in a non-custodial manner. The clarity that will be given here will clearly be the revised definition as previously mentioned. The fact that clause 45(1) and 3 is a medicinal zone, as it's already covered in section 50. This particular section refers to the objectives of community curation, and the section 50 is also referring to principles of community curation. The comments of the father would be that in section 50, these broad principles are addressed, while in this clause, the elements of those principles are indicated. Then a further discussion on the same issue. Directed clarity on completion of sentence and still poses threat to society, or alternatively not poses threat to society but has completed use of her sentence. In this regard, we refer this particular clause in view of the subject has been revised and the relevant part has been deleted. We will note submissions from other organizations. Clause 47, section 52, a submission by the AIDS Law Project and CHP. It says that the bill proposes that court no longer has the power to order community curation. If you look at the particular section, it deals with conditions of community curation. In this particular instance, it's not correct that. Correct interpretation that the court may still do it in terms of section 276 of the Criminal Procedure Act. CSPRI submission proposes that a purpose of house arrest to reduce the possibility of committing another crime should be omitted from the bill. In fact, the department deleted this part of the duplication with current conditions that is contained in the act, namely house detention. We will note submissions from other organizations. Clause 47C, on the issue of facilitating the restoration of the relationship between the person concerned and the community, the fact of consensual crimes such as possession of drugs may not apply. Therefore, the amendment to the bill be omitted. The first proposal will be accepted by the department. We will note submissions from other organizations. Clause 47, referring to section 51D, the worst way possible based on the high employment, maybe just for the community, this particular section deals that we should take up employment where possible, and it was commended by the CSPRI that based on the high employment rate, it would be difficult for ex-prisoners to find employment. The worst way possible to be a medical solid home. The proposal is accepted that this will be addressed in the revised bill. No submission from other organizations in that regard. For 47E, the comment was that we refer to corrections and care programs, and the definition of care should be re-looked at it excludes those who are in the unit of corrections. There were no submissions from other organizations. Submission by the department is that they will accept the submission. And this will also be addressed in the revised bill. Clause 49, section 55, the submission by CSBRI. It says that the amendment excludes persons placed in community corrections in terms of section 62F and section 71 of the Criminal Procedure Act. No submission from other organizations. These cases, namely section 62F and 71 cases, are still within the terms of the Criminal Procedure Act and not within the legislation. Clauses 50 and 52, referring to section 57 and 67, CSPRI, submission in this regard, is clarified short on the following. Abstinence from alcohol and drugs may be a condition of the various corrections. Probation is a release not to be under the influence of drugs to the extent that it increases the process of supervision, and that testing is done if there is suspicion that the person is under the influence of alcohol and drugs. No other submissions were received. The DGS clarified that the practice is constructed through the provisions as it is in the principle act. This condition is only to be set in certain cases as conditions are considered on a case-by-case basis. in other words, is not applicable to every prisoner under community corrections. Clause 53, section 58, CSPRI, for clarity on the Environmental Support Committee, this particular section deals with the appointment of voluntary workers to assist in monitoring of prisoner under community corrections. Their preference was what is the duties on site volunteers, whether there will be a screening process in appointing such volunteers, and whether there's provision of training in protective clothing in higher risk situations. The partner's response is that volunteers will only be utilized where they are not exposed to situations where they might be in danger, and the issue of training of such persons on their clauses 56 and 57, refers to section 73 and 73A of the Act. The submission by CSPRI is the following. They're not in support of putting the power of determining minimum time to serve in for parole shopping in the hands of the political head. The minister may change the incarceration framework without consulting the portfolio committee. The minister only has to consult with the NCCS and give notes in the head of undermining the events of changes in court. There was further submission by the UWC Faculty of Law. They raise a concern that it will create a third version of calculating the minimum time as already confusing for staff and for all boards. The legislation needs to simplify. Simplify calculations of release length. In the submission by the CSPR, they raised concerns regarding the determination of the minimum period by the minister. They suggest a change in the minimum time sexual offender status in terms of sections 51 and 52 of the Criminal Procedure Act. I think they should read general law, criminal law amendment at the Criminal Procedure Act, which takes minimum mandatory sentences. They are also concerned about the fact that the minister can determine minimum time for prison serving life sentences before the parole can be considered. The ICE law project and THC doesn't support the power provided to the minister. The Union ICE Commission doesn't support the amendments and raise the question whether the minister will make the incarceration framework known or obtain approval from cabinet. The minister says the spinning error should be opposed. The amendments, they oppose the amendment that Professor Douglas Smith with regard to the human time served as the provision in the current act was designed to avoid manipulation by excluding the minister from the process, allowing the department to live through provides information on whether the review should be grounded, placing the final decision in the hands of the professional and independent body. Also proposed that section 67B(5) regarding new sentencing legislation be dealt with in the same as determined extended, namely half of the status. We currently have those particular sentences, the inmate that serve 4/5 of the sentence. We also propose an increase in time to serve regarding the senior sentence in terms of section 27615, the Criminal Procedure Act. One-third of the senior should be served in civil command procedure as currently contained in section 73 of the Principal Act. In support that the power to improve parole of lifers, we shift it back from the courts to the minister. The Lisa input was put a huge burden on the minister where it's very easily done by the court referring to life sentences. There were no petitions from the other organizations. The department's viewpoint is that the amendments are not unconstitutional and the incarceration framework will enable the department to regulate the parole system more effectively. Furthermore, that is not the intention of the department to interfere with the powers of the court. The court may still impose non-parole periods, and the department must abide by that. Section 73A, which deals with the conservation framework, but also the office to provide the conservation framework is consulted by the NCS, with the National Commission, where outreach will be ratified by the Minister and published by that in the Cabinet again. This will also ensure that a concern raised by the organisation that 25 years for visitor and licensing school the campuses is dealt if there's a fear that the campuses will be dealt with in a responsible manner. Then on clause 58, which is 74, with no sufficient to receive 76, clause 59, section 75A, CSPRI matters to be shared in regard, and also related to the mental life on section 36, clause 58. They support the power to keep the service. Serving license business of the role that is still back to the Minister of Transport from the source. They do not support the increase in 24 months as it is not in line with the white paper of the regime. It is determined that service must be available. This refers again to the amendment where offenders currently are released after 12 months and that the service plan should not be developed for them. We already commenced on that aspect. The Human Rights Commission, they also not in support of increasing from 12 months to 24 months as the exclusive tenders from having a tenders plan. Then the submission by the H Law Project has been part in fact no indicator why the power should be shifted and no submissions from other organizations. The department already commented on this aspect to why the experience is increased to 24 months, and basically that this person will still be able to partake in programs although they won't have a proper tenders plan. Section 75C, no submissions were received on this section. Section 75C, the CSPRI, made a submission in this regard, but the comments on the previous section clause 33 and 38. There were no submissions from other organizations. Section 75 no submissions, as well as 60-61. On clause 62, leading to section 71, the UWC faculty of law supported that the minister decide on the parole of a person serving life and not a sport. The same was commenced by Professor Desmond Sussman. The department notes the issue from other organizations. On 43, section 79, the CSPRI notification. Is that the person should not be capable of committing crime in future. That would be proposed in the bill. CSPRI was not in committed the decision of the decision. The proposal that a new they proposed a new section in this regard. The comment basically was that it's difficult to determine whether a person will be capable of committing crime in future. This proposal is accepted as it will be addressed in the revised bill. No comments, but if the car incarceration framework section 73A is not accepted, the restriction will have to be rectified. At the bottom note that the submission is no submissions on clauses 65-67, then clauses 69-76 that uses section 85-91. this is GL, a chapter dealing with the judicial inspectorate. CSPRI made a following decision. They do not support the removal of the duty of inspecting just to report the corruption and dishonest practice on that. They do not support the appointment of the chief executive officer by the director general of the department. The secondment and appointment of staff for the office of inspecting just will interfere with the independence of this office. Then the eighth law published by that is the following. The members will interfere with the independence of the inspecting judge's office. The Human Rights Commission supports the appointment of the CO, but the OC should be appointed by the inspecting judge to avoid interference with the independence of the office. No other submissions were received. The department's response in this regard is that the department of Sheriff already provided the revised proposal to the committee on this clause. The provisions to remain as is in the act is set for the amendment will have the following implications. The appointment of the CEO will be appointed by the inspecting judge in consultation with the National Commission by the Department of Public Service and Administration. The staff will be appointed by the CEO as per needs and request of the inspecting judge. Assistance to those people with legal, medical, or neurological expertise or other expertise will be appointed by the COS, but as per needs and request of and in consultation with the inspecting judge. IPD to be appointed by the chief executive officer as per needs in consultation with the inspecting judge. The CEO will be under the authority and control of the inspecting judge. The CEO will be dealing with all administrative, financial, clerical duties, which will be to the usual as a responsibility, and the CEO will be accountable for the finances of the office. The issue of reporting of fraud and corruption is not part of the objective of the inspecting judge's office. Even like any other body, this office is like to report on dishonest and corrupt activities in terms of the prevention and combating corrupt activities. The state law advisors office will assist in advising interventions which will be appearing in the revised bill that will be submitted on Tuesday. On 477, a note of decision was made. 478, dealing with Section 95. FBRI made a decision in this regard. They support the amendment that proposes additional subsections to strengthen the curbing of corruption within the department as it issues from other organizations. The department's response is that as a result, the internal capacity mechanisms are in place in terms of the DSO discussion, the investigation unit, the crime intelligence of the FBS. Support the internal capacity as well. 479, dealing with Section 95, I think that decisions were made. Then it is, of course, 80, Section 96. Ace Law Project made that decision. And the provision that we're referring to deals with the reference to the fact that there's industrial action in the department's entitled to summary dismissed employees. Submission was that the contravention of Section 23 of the Constitution, no submissions from other organizations were made. The response of the department is that, in fact, it's not unconstitutional that the amendment is in line with the provisions of the Labor Relations Act with a specific reference to Schedule 8 of the Labor Relations Act, item 6 thereof. Clause 81. Section 98, law project made a submission in this regard. They do not agree with regard maybe just for the house. The particular clause deals with professionals that are independent in professional capacity, but they're subject to the departmental discretion. They do not agree with it, and they say the president of the department will supersede their professional and or ethical responsibilities. The department is not saying that if you look at the proper interpretation of the proposal, is that they still enjoy professional independence, but in terms of normal administrative and disciplinary issues, they are still subject to departmental procedures. Section 90, no submissions as well as no submissions on score 83 and 94, 92. 1993, CSPRI makes a decision that the inspector judge and other members should deal with the group. That is our order of purpose. The article decision on 123 deals with publication of any event that took place in correctional centers. If you want to publicize this permission, permission must be sought. If the commissioner denies that permission, there was a field mechanism to be inspecting that, which depends on proposed amendment from the RFP, the minister. The departmental response is that a minister is the logical next level of appeal on the issue of publication and other fall within the mandate of the Office of the Inspecting Judge. Code 94, SAPA made a submission in this regard. It's a particular section criminalizes the unauthorized read of inmate death. We've made this report in this regard. Clause 95, also made a submission in this regard, but it's already dealt with in terms of Clause 58, even though submissions from other organizations. Then Clause 96, no submissions, and Clause 97 deals with the transitional provision in the Act dealing with the transition from the pre-1998 session, and it also deals then with the incarceration framework because it links to the provisions under Section 73 of the bill. Thank you, Chairperson, from the Department of Health.
No, thank you very much. I must commend the department for this proposal. Very good document. You have captured most of the things that were said, and I'm very much happy, and very much happy that you have done since Tuesday, up until now, captured each and everything. But I'm going to open for a discussion on this. Let me hear from the safeguard advisors. Do you have anything to say? And then the two of you.
I just want to comment on one thing. The appointment of the chief of the officer by the dean. The contract 21 of the dean. The department proposes that the chief executive officer will be appointed by the chief, in consultation with the National Commission and the Department of the Public Service. I'm still raising the same concern as we used before when we discussed the interference with the independent supervisor in the light of that 16. And I was being ready to propose this is accepted by the committee that the appointment must be done by the National Commission in consultation or on the recommendation of the chief. But we must not be the one who's making the appointment because it's still an administrative process. On the recommendation of the inspector.
We will debate this one.
Yes,
we will debate it. Amendment is in
deals with the minister, the power to the minister, in section 73. Something I'd like to bring to the attention of the committee. Basically, yes, we're dealing with a situation where the legislature has in the past determined the minimum period that offenders should serve before they are considered for parole. That is the position as stand in the bill. And this is an instruction by the legislature to the officials of the Department of Correctional Services on how they will implement issues pertaining to parole. For example, the court will not, if it has sentenced somebody to life in prison tomorrow or 10 years after that person has been sentenced, the department or the minister or the parole board cannot simply stand up and say, sorry, we think you're ready for parole and you should go out. That's the current situation. And the department acknowledging that they do not have the legislative power, that those powers have the power. In this case, this particular committee. They have now approached the committee to say, the committee should delegate these powers, the legislative power, to the Minister of Correctional Services to do what? To determine these minimum periods that the offenders should serve, the minimum period of imprisonment. Framework, the incarceration framework seeks to list the factors that would be considered. And they say once he has considered those factors and has determined this period will be published in the Gazette, and that will be the end of the story. Now, I'm not a politician. Must confess that once. It's a political decision. I'm not speaking to the committee members to whether or not the legislative powers are delegated to the minister. It's not my call. It's purely a political decision. My job is to advise the committee on what are the pros and the cons in so doing. One is constitutional, as I've answered that question. It is constitutional. However, what the courts have warned is the legislature cannot, in delegating its legislative power, issue a blank check for either the member of the executive to fill in the figures or that public official to fill in the figures. If that is the case, it will be important. And now, what the department seems to say, delegate the power to the minister. And once the minister has got his power, he will, by looking at the incarceration framework, determine the period, publish it in the Gazette, and that's the end of the story. There, I have a problem. Because this is where I believe a blank check will be signed. And this will be subject to a lot of controversy, and I have to respect that might well be declared unconstitutional. What then is my advice on this particular aspect? Advice would be, we need to build in, need to tighten up the legislation, need to tighten up the rules. How do you do this? And that if this decision to delegate is taken, not by me, but the education by the committee. The committee has got a lot of options. One, okay, it's got this option. The committee can basically say, we delegate the power to whoever, it might be the minister, it might be the national council, whoever the committee decides to delegate. But we want to have control over this determination. We want to have a say. For example, you will not just determine partnership in the Gazette. Once you determine, come back to the committee and tell the committee what it is that you determined. Instead of 25, you said 30. It is fair. The committee will ask itself. It is fair. If the committee says this is fine, then give approval, then you can go ahead and implement this determination. The committee says, no, we do not agree with the 30th. Then the committee will, and we now, assisting the department, will come to a sort of a consensus position. And I think this is the appropriate way of delegating the powers that the committee has. To understand that this piece of legislation, which at the end of the day is not going to be a piece of legislation of the Department of Personnel, this is a factor that you can stress. This piece of legislation, when it is not turned into law, it is going to be an act of Parliament. And if the Constitutional Court finds this piece of legislation to be unconstitutional, people are going to get hammered, this committee, and the committee is going to say, well, we have that on the legal advice. That we got from you, and it's going to happen. I don't want you to associate with Then the other aspect that the committee can also look at is that if it says, look, we do not want to give you the minister of power, whoever, we think we are equally capable of addressing you. Give us these problems, let's fix the problems for you. That's another option that the committee has. Can do that through schedules, provision for regulation, 1.31.34, subsection 5 of the title. But that act makes it optional. Not all regulations may come next. So we can build in into this particular provision that compels anyone to bring those regulations before the express to avoid any unnecessary conflict. And I think that is basically my comment in special reference to the delegation of power. With regard to the issue of the power of the court, because I see at some stage the power was taken, the transaction to take out from the court immediately. Again, it's a policy decision, at least an administrative decision. And of course, the legislature can use, because it is a legislature, two pieces of legislation that give power to court and give power to the other members of the legislature. So, basically, a political decision, is not entirely not my call. Of course, that decision would be made after considering other views from members of the public and being tried and addressed from this conference. I think, Chair, at the moment, there is one aspect that I wanted to comment on was the issue of the inmates that are, for example, on ARV treatment that have now leave the incarceration centers to join the community. See, I can see what the department is saying, but I think one of the objectives of this bill, if I read, I think the last point that relates to aftercare, the department is telling the committee that amongst other things that they want to address it. I think that is the page 80 of the bill, the last part, the last page. And I think if you look at the objective of the bill, that's what you see the last bullet in there that speaks to aftercare. Intending to ensure successful and intervention for appropriate intervention directed at both inmates and relevant societal institutions. And this is a valid point that members of the public through the NGOs have addressed to say, look, there should be a smooth transition. These people are on this LVC and whatever thing. It needs to be a sort of a smooth transition. People should not be subjected to an interruption period. We all know what ARV treatment interruption might cause to the patient. The department says yes, they are currently doing that, and I would certainly not find anything wrong in incorporating provisions in this field to try and ensure that legally this particular provision is acceptable. It will assist in alleviating, because it's people of responsibilities, and if one would simply say, but it is not our responsibility, it is the responsibility of the department, which we accept, but the department has got that responsibility and we promised in the main objective that it will ensure the successful reintegration of the inmates back to society. I think it's imperative to include that provision to deal with this sort of reintegration. I must also indicate that with respect to the initial spectrum, I hear what the counterpart saying, both from the department and the state, or coming from the state legal advisor. The problem is, the issue really is that within this department, there is corruption. And the executive appointed the Joint Commission to investigate has made serious, profound recommendations. And we're dealing here with the Correctional Services Amendment Bill. And it is serious. The committee is serious about fighting corruption. The recommendations made with by that commission needs to be reflected in this case. And I must say, I'm a little bit disappointed that we seem to have overlooked the recommendation of the Joint Commission. But thank you.
The department understands the concern made by the Chief Legal Advisor, Ms. Mizundo, about the constitutionality of having the judge to appoint staff, the CEO. The department made this amendment in order to allay the fears of the committee that there will be interference in the independence of this office. However, the department is of the same view that the appointment of the CEO by the inspecting judge removes the judge from performing judicial functions. Let me put differently. It's tantamount to the judge being administrative function. There's a decided constitutional case in that regard, which is looking at succession, but the intention, as I said, initiated to this committee was to deal with, to allay the fears that the department wants to interfere with the independence of the office. We already indicated in the past that there's no intention on the side of the department to interfere with the independence of the office. The provision is just by virtue of the amendments to the provision, but just by virtue of the constitution and the decided change. Relating to going back to the comments by Ms. Navarro, I'll start with the last one about the Jali commission recommendation. The department would like to apologize for not including this in this document. It's a commission. We regret and apologize for the commission. However, our response in that regard is that the objective of the inspection judge is very clear in the act to monitor, to inspect and deal with administrative offenders, condition zero, and further that reporting of on dishonest and corrupt activities is nevertheless, whether or not that provision is there in the act, still the back office is still obliged to report on such a dishonest and corrupt activities whenever they come into contact or to come to realize it. Putting that phrase in the act is making that office accountable. The department is not clear as to when we say the department is responsible by virtue of putting it in the legislation. How will the department, how will the office of the inspection judge be able to report without investigation? We already saw clarity in that regard. That's the reason why we think that Yeah, not the should not the office should not report on that duty. And we are saying, we also indicated to the committee that other agencies are also investigating whenever they start a need to investigate the department. We listed the number of those institutions. And the comment today is we know the challenge today and previously, I think the last meeting was that we know the challenges that those institutions are facing. Then the question from the department would be that will the Office of the Inspection that have the capacity to deal with what is doing now, including the investigation of corruption, will it not face the very same challenges that those institutions are facing? As we indicated earlier on, the intention of the amendment was just to enhance its function of dealing with conditions of human safety. My colleagues would like to continue to other things.
I have a follow-up for you on the issue of the expecting judge in the implementation of the public condition, that kind of issue. I'm very much sure that the department still speak because they appear before us. Saying that they are busy implementing the recommendation of the Charlie Commission report. Now, what about this recommendation that the Charlie Commission has on page 43? What Mr. Navarra is talking about? It's just clarity. Yes, you clarity on what the commission. You see, this commission was appointed by the president and he handed over this recommendation to the president. I just need to have clarity on that.
It's looking to me like the and we have committed to the process of this amendment to some of the recommendations that you made to the legislature. And that's the serious commitment. The purpose of the amendment, I must say, this claim is trying to try and bring the act in line with the white paper. And I think there may be justification in us going back into a decade to delegate the report of the Charlie Commission to identify the things that we have shown and to come back to this commission action. So I think I should like to support the fact that it was an omission, not an issue anymore. But I think it's important to hear what it must be.
My colleague has said is that the current amendment bill dealing with that particular section, as we know, in 2001, the issue of corrupt and dishonest practices was removed from the objectives of the judicial inspector. So what remains now, and I think that's what she alluded to, is that there's a reporting duty but no investigation part. So it's an inspection and report on practice. I just want to highlight that. So
we disagree. We have said it in our committee. We disagree. The Jali Commission is saying that Parliament has removed it. That is what the very same thing that you are. And we are saying, reverse it. Because the Jali Commission says that
However, it no longer has the function since Parliament deemed it appropriate to amend the Act. He's saying we have amended. We disagree on that issue. Mr. Mawate?
In addition to what you have just said, that report does not say on the basis of the Constitution. It says the Parliament removed.
Just clarity on that particular clause. I think the inspecting judge raised the concern with me, the previous one that you asked me quite clearly, that there is a duty on him to report, but he doesn't have the capacity to investigate what is it that he's going to be reporting on. And so there is a bit of a dilemma. Obviously, if that clause is retained, one will have to look at giving the obligation also to investigate. And this is where some of the problem may come in, because that clause was inserted in the Act prior to some of the Chapter 9 institutions taking shape, prior to the DSO in the NPA, and many other functions that structures with responsibility to investigate corrupt practices within the civil service, including the Department of Correctional Services. Moreover, we've also departmentally established the Departmental Investigation Unit. So there's a plethora of structures responsible for this. So if we want, we really need to look at it carefully from that angle, lest it be a serious duplication and a burdening on the Office of the Inspecting Judge. We're not completely averse to it, but I think we this House must make the decisions in the light of the factors that we've just outlined.
Commissioner, I must say that. You see, if you are saying that before this Chapter 9 institution were set up and this thing were amended and withdrawn, let me point out to you. You see, the Inspector of Intelligence, the IG's office, was set up 2 years ago. Mr. Nakan. And I mean the GSO, all these Chapter 9 institutions and all. I'm just pointing it out. It can't be the reason. It can't be the reason. Because I'm part and parcel of setting up that one. That's why I know that it came later on, two years, the Office of the IG, Inspector General for Intelligence. I'm not saying that we must debate it. Yes, sir.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the National Commissioner has captured this whole thing pretty well in saying, look, there has been an apparent omission of these recommendations. And it's not something that they can do now as we think it is. It's something that really needs some attention. And because it really, I mean, to simply omit some of the profound recommendations that needs to be addressed specifically by this piece of legislation will be a catastrophe. And I think we should perhaps try and look at that and see how some of those recommendations, you know, I mean, we also mindful that some of these issues cannot be implemented, but there are some the issues that can be looked at and perhaps be incorporated. How is something that the department and legal advice together with the stakeholders have to look at. But I think we cannot simply shut out this report and pretend that it does not exist while it exists and have this everything. Thank you.
Mr. Mawate?
Chairperson, just on the remaining aspect that we have documented on what Mr. Navarra was referring to the committee to, legally I have an agreement with him. I mean, you've mentioned the two options. Either you delegate to the executive, and there's two ways to do it, either by way of a blank check, as you indicated, and secondly by way of regulations. I think that, so I'm in agreement with that from a legal point of view.
if he agrees from a legal point of view, administrative case, I don't know what it is he agrees with, because he's given us two options, Chairperson. But I quite like the option that compels us to come back and for that to be written in law. I've taken that concern very seriously. And I think that would be the right thing to do. You have acknowledged that practice dictates that we have a dilemma and that the committee should take serious that. But there are also other obligations of the portfolio committee that we as the department must be mindful of. And I think to put that into a framework that we bring back for this committee to say, hey, you're not on this, is really the appropriate thing to do. I would support that with Minister Vicky as well.
Maybe I must come in at that one. Let me say I'm happy that that's the commission. You see on page 60, on that very day, you see in the bill, I think that the department have really tried to address the concern of the committee and the presenter. You know, in the bill, yes, it said that that is four. Incarceration may not replace the person on parole until he or she. And then it goes to the powers of the minister, the period determined by the minister in consultation with the National Council after taking into consideration the incarceration framework of that. Yeah. I think that now the department is coming back today to say Section 73A will also be altered to provide that the incarceration framework be consulted by the NCCS with the National Commissioner, whereafter it will be ratified by the Minister and published by notice of a government gazette, and so on. I think, personally, I think that
Mr. Navarra is right. You see, we have said last week as a committee, we can't give a blank check and say, no, it's open as it is now. But you are trying to address this. But let me also make a further proposal in doing that. And I am thinking of another clause there that will say, you see, us as the legislature, you see, but before that, let's look at who is the NCC, because you see, we must also give, we are public representatives, and we are here on behalf of the masses outside. We must give them that assurance that we are not going to do irresponsible things. Now, if we say the National Council on Correction must do it, let's check. The National Council consists of two judges, and you are proposing a further one, the third one. In other words, it will be three judges. No? That is what you are proposing, a further judge in the act. Yeah? It's on page 21. Section 83, that from two to three judges of the Supreme Court. That. So in other words, it's three judges of the Supreme Court. I'll read it. Of appeal or the High Court of South Africa appointed after consultation with the Chief Justice. It's very much important that we know what we are adopting here or agreeing with. Then be a magistrate of a regional division appointed after consultation with the chairperson of the magistrate commission. Then a director or deputy director of public prosecution appointed after consultation with the national director of public prosecution. Then two members of the department, that is the Department of Correctional Services, of or above the rank of director appointed after consultation with the National Commission. A member of
South African Police Service of or above the rank of director, appointed after consultation with the National Commissioner of the South African Police, a member of the Department of Social Welfare or above the rank of director, appointed after consultation with the Director General of Welfare. Two persons with special knowledge of correctional, of the correctional system, who are not in full-time service of the state. And four or more persons not in the full-time service of the state, or members of parliament appointed as representatives of the public after consultation with the Portfolio Committee on Correctional Services. I'm reading this so that we must check if this body is credible or not. If we are going to say the proposal from the department now that the NCC, no more the minister, it's now the NCC. Commissioner, can you say it?
Yes, Chairperson, I think the change that we've incorporated here is to take it from the minister to the NCC, but it still does not address the dilemma that we heard earlier. I think the credibility of the NCCS is perhaps not the question, because even if the NCCS has to say the last word, it may not still be on the basis of any consultation that they have had with any other stakeholder, including the judiciary broadly. I mean, those people would represent themselves possibly on the structure. I think it may still be a dilemma, and that's why I'm saying the NCCS can still play a key role in developing that framework, having the multidisciplinary and different stakeholder representation, but in the final analysis, still to subject it to further scrutiny. I would be quite comfortable with that.
I think what the chairperson wants was the question actually of the chairperson is based on the premise that if the committee were to take a decision to delegate, and to delegate but not to the minister, and delegate, say, to the council, firstly they'll need to understand the credibility of the council. Firstly, who is in that council before they can say, okay, we don't give the minister this, we don't even get delegated to the minister, delegate to the NCC. But we need to understand who is in the NCC, who appoints the NCC, and all those things.
That's the point I'm making. It's really not in terms of the credibility of the council. If we've heard the chairperson correctly in terms of saying who those people are, I'm saying ultimately they're still there representing themselves in their own right individually. They have no obligation to the constituency where they come from. That may be a problem. And so if there's a need for broader consultation, it may still not solve that. I don't know if I'm clear.
No, let me come in. Why? The thing that I understand. You see, if three judges are appointed by, I don't think that they are representing themselves and they are checkers. I don't think so. You see, they are appointed by the High Court, appointed after consultation with the Chief Justice. They can't come and be picked from the street. That is what I understand. They are representing the Chief Justice. If anything goes wrong, then the Chief Justice will call them and say that we have sent you there. So even the magistrate has not been picked in the street. the regional division appoints him after consultation with the chairperson of the magistrate commission. It's a group of people. That's what I understand. They are not vindic. If we, as a portfolio committee, send two members, they are not going to represent themselves. They represent the public who sent them here to Parliament when we send them there. I'm just giving clarity on the credibility of this structure of the NCC. Are you with me, Commissioner? Thanks. No. Yes. Okay. Yeah. That is what I understand of this structure, the credibility. Now I'm coming to the next point where you are having a problem, Commissioner. We are talking about a framework that you are saying you can come with it and the concern that Mr. Navarra is also has. I am proposing that maybe we add another clause in here that will cover and strengthen this amendment that you are coming up. Then we know when we pass the bill or adopt the bill, we are covered, the society is covered, with maybe a list of people. You see, we are deleting the 25 years, and I'm putting a proposal in front from our side. Then maybe we are saying that add a clause with a list of classification of liver, maximum, ultra maximum, that will have to serve 25 years. We can't say that all livers are not rehabilitatable. We can't say that. Now, for instance, people on the list, I'm making examples, people on the list, these guys who's killing the police out there, these guys who rape children, women, and so on. This, we are having a C-Mex. It's not all the inmates that goes to C-Mex, but it's those dangerous. You see, it's maximum in prison. It's maximum, medium, and whatever. Now, we can say the same year. Also, to protect society and to give society that assurance that no, this thing will be properly managed. I close my case. May we meet?
Oh, you are not on that one.
Yeah.
Can you hold it in the next one? Let's analyze this one, may we?
Okay.
Let's analyze it.
If I may say something. No, I hear you. And I think that's the different interest that we seek to balance. Mm. And quite clearly there are different kinds of cases, and some of it this committee must continue to express its own abhorrence, and others we know from the prognosis of inmates the possibility for rehabilitation is quite weak. I mean, if you take certain categories of sexual offences, for example. So yes, there's a lot of truth in what you are saying. And therefore that makes that the question obviously is whether we want to be as explicit in legislation itself, in primary legislation, or whether we should bring that into the subordinate legislation. And if we bring it into the primary legislation, it will have to be built into this bill in the way that will satisfy this committee. and whether we will have the time to consult all stakeholders in time for that to happen is a different matter. And that brings me back to the preferred, my preference for the second option, to say the clause must really say the framework must be consulted, and that compel us to bring that framework back in the form of subordinate legislation to the committee to give us this type of categorization and the basis upon which we would make those proposals. So I'm quite comfortable with that. I think that would give us a further bite at doing exactly the same thing. So if indeed the addition to that could be as formulated in the second option of Mr. Navarra, I think it will make us quite satisfied.
Honourable Chair, I think the Commissioner has captured basically this idea significantly well. I think what the opportunity, that's why I suggested it, exactly for this type of this, what you say. You see, if now this bill were to go in this format, we would have that opportunity in terms of the incorporation framework. So not through regulation, that must come through, back to the committee before it becomes effective. So, yes, this proposal of suggested will give the committee exactly that opportunity to say, look, you must take into account what you have highlighted, that you can't generalize. But unfortunately, you can't do now that within this legislation, because it's going to be a little bit going to details. I think that's addressed through regulation.
No, that's fine. You know, the only thing that I am pleading to is that before we adopt the bill, we must have that document in front of us. That is what we will adopt it when that thing is in our hands.
Yes.
I wonder if the process, I'm trying to understand the time frame of the committee in terms of this specific legislation, by virtue of the statement that you've made, and wondering whether the time frame for the development of that framework and the possibility for consultation is there to allow us to do so. In which case, of course, we must come back with that framework to this committee within a very short space of time, which could be a week or two, if what you are saying, my interpretation thereof, is correct. I think one of the things we could do, Chairperson, since this is emerging out of this discussion, is to from here go back and look at the practicalities thereof and come back next week and say whether we can achieve that within this run, or whether indeed we have to then ask the committee to build the provision in that ultimate amendment that will compel us to come back with that framework at a later stage. So I'm very suggesting that we take it in two steps, that we come back to you on the proposal that we develop that subordinate that prior to you adopting it within the next week. Failing which we then suggest a version in the Act itself that will specify that this clause, we do not give the department the main option but shall consult subordinate legislation with this committee. I don't know if those two points are clear, Mr. Navarra, to you, especially since it's your proposal that I'm trying to act on.
I think at this stage it will be appropriate for me to consult with the chair on this issue. So I'm not going to pronounce myself. I understand what you're saying. I think it's appropriate for me to consult with the chair.
Yeah. I will say it, yes. That I will be very much uncomfortable to adopt a a bill that I'm not sure of. With other words, we are saying, no, we are giving you this thing. And after a month or so, you can come and say, no, we were thinking of something else, man, and we must be sure. We must be sure. That's why I'm saying. And I was thinking, members and commission, that I am taking a short route in this thing, in proposing an additional clause to this thing. But, I mean, the two of you are saying, no, it's not practical. Mr. Paxton, I see that you want to.
If my understanding is correct, if the way forward is to go, and this incarceration framework should be contained in regulations, then I see the situation that if the bill is adopted and that clause is added to the regulations, and it should come back to the committee for approval whenever, the status quo will remain the same. In other words, until such time as the framework comes into operation, the status quo will remain. In other words, just take the example, the 25 years will stay 25 years, half of things will stay half of things. Until such time, the regulations is submitted to the committee. And at that point in time, if the committee is not satisfied with that, it won't come into operation, and the status quo will still remain at that point in time. I just want to deal with my colleague on that status, Mr. Navarra, is also in agreement with my view on the situation.
Perhaps not sure you understand. I indicated that I need to speak to the chairperson. I mean, so that he's my client at times. I mean, you need to consult with your client, not in the public domain.
I think we will pass this one. And we will pass it, and we will come back to think about it later. But then we'll pass this one and come back.
Thank you, Chairperson. Thank you for the presentation and we're so exhausted about this one, Chairperson. Very much. Chairperson, I was looking at the at page 15 when it's talking about the alcohol in terms of testing. Testing is done if there is subscription that the person is under the influence of alcohol and drugs. I need a clarification in terms of this, that how is the department have deal about this, because I don't believe that a person, we do have monitors in terms of the inmate when is out for parole, and to look after them when that person, whether is drinking or whatever. I don't know what do we mean about this. Can I get a clarification? Thank you.
Thank you very much. Before you stop, let us respond and then be short.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Again, I'm going to raise that we have already raised in the committee, and that is that Section 52 deals with the possible conditions that can be set by the parole board, the court, or whoever got the power to set the conditions. And one of the conditions is that a condition might be that they don't use or misuse alcohol or drugs. Then the further section deals with the fact that if that condition was set, that you can, and you will find him that he used the license, you can test him for that. The other clause deals with if I put someone on parole and I visit him, he must be in a condition that I can visit him. He should not be under the influence of liquor. That the clause are very clear by saying, if I visit you tonight and I can smell liquor, then I can test you for liquor. That's the three articles. One, to set the conditions. One, you should be in a position that I can visit you tonight, and when I visit you, you should be a normal person. And the third clause is to say, if you are under the influence of liquor or what drugs, I can then, I'm allowed to test you. Now, as already said, it's not every prisoner who will have the condition, or any probably have the condition for, we're going to put it a blank check, as we said it, everybody will have that condition. It's not like that. It's those persons who really need to have that condition to say, your past experience showed to me that you cannot help yourself. You've got a drinking problem, that crime was committed where you were drunk. This is why I put this condition on you, that you're not going to drink liquor. Then the second will be, if I visit you and you've got liquor, I'm going to test you for liquor. But other guy who haven't got that condition, he still have to be sober when I visit him so that he can know that I visit him. And if he's not sober or there's any reason to think that this guy is not sober, then I can test you. So I want to make it clear that this is the three provisions in the Act. If I set a condition that you should not drink, then if I visit you and you drink, I can test you. If I don't set a condition that you're a nice guy that didn't utilize liquor, but when I visit you, you should be sober, but less. If you're not sober, I'm going to test you. Just to make it clear in that regard, Mr. Chairman.
Chairperson, I'm worried if this clause we are going to make it a law, Chairperson. Really, I'm worried about it. We are not on that stage in terms of monitoring these people. If we can remember when we go to Gauteng, we go to that office of a community correctional service. We still have a lot of challenges. One is the uniform that they are wearing when they go to see them. When they see the car of a correctional standing next to the gate, they run away. When they see them wearing the uniform, they run away. And we guess that they are saying the information that they are saying, the neighbors get now afraid of that inmate that is out for parole, that he's still a prisoner. Then there's that thing. So in terms of monitoring them, what do we have on place to make sure that we are going to test them like that? I don't see that we are ready for this one, Chairperson. I think.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. Well, Chairperson, if I'm out of court, you know, Chairperson, let me repeat last week, you know, the point I raised last week about this being silent about the people who commit a crime. I mean, corruption is like when the advisor, Mr. Rabana, was talking about. You know, my worry, Chairperson, is that if you look in corruption in prison, if you see in TV the problem about the family, where the prisoners go out in prison, and the prison orders, they will say, Papa, it's like they go out in the five-star hotel. Just like that. Just like that. And if, I'm still remember, 2001, 2002, if I'm not mistaken, 22 in Bangui, the prison orders, they will help them to go out. And if we remember, in Eastern Cape, some prison warders and with the prisoners,
please, and the baby comes out there. But you don't understand, we don't know, you know, we don't, what we don't even know. Those people that are in prison, where did the baby come out? it's clarity.
No, I'm serious.
Between that business and that official.
Oh, I see. All right. No, I understand it better now, Bishop. All right.
Now, Jefferson, look now. They're talking about suspension, money. We don't know. But you'll find a woman who steals the fruit of 99 man in prison for 1 year. A person who helped criminals to escape. We don't even know those people. You know, we don't know. I'm telling you. We don't know. What about people of South Africa? Maybe the president also, we don't even know. Why is it like that? Why always the department silent? When people escape, helping the criminals, kill the people outside, and everything jump, they are saying suspension, money, what, and free stop is quiet. We don't even know. I don't understand, Shepard said. That's why, according to me, if you look always escape, that the official helping the prisoners escape, they can see stop. In Pretoria, where they would kill 4 people, 9 millimeter inside the prison. We don't even know today what's going on. Nobody knows. But I'm sure the official or leadership of President, they know. Now, my wife, if we are just exclude this thing, we are still going to face it. A big problem. One day when we wake up morning, you are going to find there are say 200 prisoners, what that amount is, 1,500, all of them are gone. And we can't say this one was going to prison, but we didn't send some other people who helped the prisoners long time ago in prison. Now my question is, what's going on? The people of Zimbabwe in 2002. They were 22. And others, where are those people? Those people helping those dangerous people that are in prison, well, where are those people? That lady, that man also to enjoy with that gentleman, not a gentleman, that is criminal in prison, where she is? She's in prison? What's going on? You know, I don't know. These 2 boys who raped 2 nurses in Bambia. And we don't know, we don't know. That's why I say on this bill also, Mr. President, be silent on this kind of issue. One thing. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much,
Bishop. The child is out. Bishop is 100% correct. We must be very careful. There mustn't be a lot of children coming out. That is what Bishop is talking about. They are enjoying themselves. That is what Bishop is saying. 2 of them are enjoying themselves. It is in Middle Drift, Bishop. In Middle Drift, where they were.
Yeah,
they were working very hard in the middle of the But let's have the commission.
So thank you, my Lord Bishop. I agree with you. I'm saying that we need to make sure that there are consequences for not even for criminal behavior, whether it's corruption or any other criminality. There must be consequences. I'm as disturbed as you that often the only consequences that we see is dismissal or disciplinary processes. But we must criminalize these things.
Mm-hmm.
Yesterday I met with the Director of Public Prosecutions, Mr. Lucy Picordi, I can tell you, to express my concern about the prosecution and non-prosecution of cases of a criminal nature involving our officials. And I really urge them to address this matter, to deal with this sense of impunity. And I'm saying it's really, unfortunately, a matter I have to deal with my counterparts in SAC and other agencies, so that they begin to prioritize this, so that we can break this cycle. From the drafting point of view, I'm saying one can unfortunately not legislate for how others in the criminal justice cluster approach this, but I certainly will do my level best to make sure that they prioritize this. Thank you.
For response of coalition commission. But to my heart, Chairperson, from 2002 out there, those people that were held in the prisoner, a criminal. I don't think we must start here. We must go back. If they consult Mr. Bigoli, we must go back. Those people that were helping the prisoners to escape, to come to kill the people, rape the people, robbery, all those things. Some of them maybe they are rich, they've got a big building. Those prison mothers, they are rich, they've got a big building and so on. Rich. I'm not sure, but I think so. Because when they open this thing, the one they are sent to go to make a robbery, people can. Now, they must investigate that. All these people who cause a problem to make escape the same one who was sleeping somewhere there also. Those kind of people. Because this thing is going to be according to me. One day, I remember, if I'm not mistaken, you will correct me. Mr. Who sat in prison and the white guy, yeah, that's right. If I'm not mistaken, his wife, I'm not sure, but maybe I can be wrong, but you're correct. It was like a request to one see my husband also, see? To maybe, or whatever. So, we know him, an assignment. It's like that.
No, I don't
understand you. If you want to... It's something, say it. I don't understand you. I can't read your mind, what you want to say. Okay. Charles W. Lewis' wife wanted to go in the cell with him.
Yes.
To do what?
You know, as a big man, I'm trying to...
Now, if we look like this, some other men also in prison, and like when that lady, she was sleeping with that man. Some other men, some other women also, they want to go there to say the spouse.
Thank you.
Let me tell you, we will call the department. To give us an account. It's a very important thing that we show. This escape, we will call after the reset, we'll put it on our program. And the department must come and account on all these escapes and things that have happened. Bishop is right. We don't follow. Mr. Sitton is always talking about the case of Mr. Horn. Yes. And we need answers on that. I don't think that you are going to respond we are going to deal with this, the thing that Bishop is talking about. Not the servicing part, all the money. Yeah.
Minister, come to pray.
She's My question is on page 7, Shepherdson. And my problem is only on the terminology part of it. Yeah, it deals about the addition of a penalty of solitary confinement and replacement with the change in a single cell. I want to find out from the department as to what is the difference between solitary confinement and confinement in and detention in a single cell.
I'm just raising it so that you must, when we come back, you can respond to the position that we do
there. Yes, this is the version that the honourable members before already amended it. It was confusing the way in which the decision was made, but actually in the revised ones that we have is that we do away with solitary confinement in toto, and repeated disciplinary offences, the person will be segregated with a lot of amenities and security. That's the proposal. Then the person will be in segregation, but still the normal measures for people in segregation will be also be applicable to him as currently in the Principal Act with a lot of amenities in order to disrespect to that. You can be segregated. There's the reporting to the inspecting judge, visits by nurse or medical officer, visits by the head of the center, and so all that restrictions that still apply to segregation. Thank you.
Thank you. We will take a 5 minutes on page 23 on the report of the inspecting judge. Why are you using the report and the Masoli book for you? Can you call it out? A 5 minute break. Thank you, and 5 minutes.
I'm doing it for next year in case I don't get a job for injury. So if I don't get a job, then I'll be doing this for whatever. I would have nice to be moved to that's the thing. But anyway, I'm going to do it. The dilemma said that I'm going to be doing another good just get used to this. But this is like what you do in class, so it's the same. Just to debate on views that flow. So just to debate on views that. And rules and all. So this is like a lecture for you. But it's pretty boring. This is amazing and basic question. I'm serious now. My heart is in the condition. Every time I'm saying something after the very comments and said they can't really believe whatever. It's a different idea. So it's my family, you know, I was there like for 1 year just to see how it was coming. Then I started. So it's my first year. I'm employed for LLB. I'm in the office. I'm not doing that, but I want to do school of physical practice for 6 months. And then, so that's why I need this something to work on. So this is just a temporary thing, but which could be actually, I need to So this is just a setup, but I'm on my way to something, yeah. I'm not sure what I'm doing exactly, yeah. But I just want to know, because you know,
yeah, what's your concentration
training? The thing is, if you're used to people analyzing, like, if you analyze blue, like, or, like, you have that sexual conscious blue, you have to analyze it section by section, even that organized crime, whatever. You have to analyze the system. So it's something that I'm used to, you have to concentrate. But basically what other people, it's either the definition, I messed up, they need to do something about the definition, or maybe the definition is suggested like this, whatever that we're talking about. I think confinement, innocent, you can go woman, a person being,
what's the difference between something
solitary confinement
and solitary confinement?
Solitary confinement has constitutional, like, it has a constitutional, like, impact. I would say solitary confinement than staying in a single cell. I mean, solitary confinement would say, it talks about depriving someone of, like, maybe chasing someone, like, depriving someone of the basic human rights, and saying that you are in a single room. Okay, both guns are the same thing, but this one is more harsh to say solitary confinement.
Yeah. Let's go back now to 73. Let's go back to 73, because we have said we are going to pack it. And I saw there was a lot of consultation from different sides. Mr. Baxter, please.
If I'm correct, you referred us to section 52, or clause 47, section 52, where we remove the court and put in the minister. Just to get clarity whether that's the correct one that you referred to, sir.
You can respond to that one. I thought that we are going to deal with the one
that we have said we park on this regulation issue. The regulation issue. The amendment or the new proposal that you came with, ne? In the NCCS, the minister must not decide anymore and whatever. We have said we passed it. But maybe Mr. Navarra is ready. Mr. Navarra?
Thank you, Honorable Chair. You've indicated that I've been in consultation with my colleague from the department and the state law was the. And since I've now had an opportunity to consult with you. My concern with the proposed amendment as it stands now is to the effect that if these powers were to be delegated to the minister would have to consider the framework in 73 capital A, and determine these minimum periods, and once he or she has done that, he will just, by way of a notice in the Gazette, have these periods coming to effect. But, and that's why I said we might be found to be, I mean, that might be found to be unconstitutional. And that's why I've come up with this proposal to say that if these powers were to be delegated to the minister, or for that matter, whoever, we need to build in some measures of control. And that measure of control basically would be to say the minister is not just going to issue this by way in the Gazette. The minister, or whoever, is delegated with these powers, will determine the period one by looking at what the framework says, taking into in consultation with the National Council. But once he has done that in the form of regulation, he must bring those regulations back to the Portfolio Committee. The Portfolio Committee must now engage, as we are engaging with this bill, and this will present the committee with an ideal opportunity that the chair was trying to address, these issues that the chair was trying to address. And the advantage of that would be these regulations will not be enforceable unless the committee has given its approval. And they cannot be effective, and they won't have any force and effect of law unless the committee has given its approval. And what happens when the committee, for example, adopts the bill and before, and we must also accept that the regulations will come a little bit later. They will not be passed together with the bill. But the imperative is, if the bill does make provision for these powers to be determined through regulation, the regulation must come to Parliament for approval, the current status quo will remain. For example, what the Act provides for, the minimum periods that are determined already, will remain applicable. In other words, the minister cannot, in the meantime, start saying, since I have these powers, I'm now changing this whole system. It's not going to be like that. The current system, the current Act remains applicable. And it is the system, these provisions will only change once the regulations have been made and the minister has brought those regulations to the committee. The committee has, through a formal engagement of this nature, given approval to those regulations. I think I've made my point.
Well, thank you very much, Mr. Navarro. Any comment, Department here?
So we would concur with that suggested amendment.
So yeah, then we will wait for it. Yes, ma'am. Yeah.
yes, we concur, Captain, but it shouldn't be the whole bill. Only that clause. That's not addressed.
We are blocking the bill, but Mr. Navarro, he explained that the bill itself, without the regulation, will be. Yeah.
Okay. He's trying to say that you don't want regulations for the entire bill. It's for that clause we're talking about.
For that clause.
Agree on this one.
Okay, thanks, Professor. So that means all in all the bill, this section 73A will be amended to provide for the minister to make regulations determining the minimum period in terms of regulation. And then also the regulation section in the principal act will have to be amended also to empower the minister to make regulations pertaining to the minimum period that should be determined. And my understanding was this regulation dealing with the power will be done in consultation with Parliament. And then that part also, and then we can also have a provision in the regulation section that says the regulation contemplated in that subsection must be done in consultation with Parliament. We empower the minister to make regulation in consultation with National Council.
No, I think what is imperative for the committee is basically to grasp the principle. I don't want us to go to the nitty-gritties of the wedding thereof, because it might well lead to unnecessary confusion. I think that the principle here is these regulations will come to Parliament. And most importantly, not for this consultation, but for approval. So this is very much imperative. These things are not just going to go here for varying purposes. Parliament must have a proper control over this process. I think that's the principle. Thanks.
Yes, I understand. The Minister will make regulation, then afterwards you will bring that part of regulation to you for approval. Only this part, then the other regulation will be done.
You will make proposals
to
the Minister.
Yes.
You will make proposals, and we will approve it.
You will come with a draft. Like
correct. That's draft proposals, not the written draft.
Correct. We will dismiss.
Thank you.
The other issue in clause 47, section 52, there's a reference to the minister that's added and the court removed. Actually, that should also be fine-tuned in this process, because if we look at the Act, this particular section deals with setting of conditions for correctional supervision and parole. The court should actually remain here, because the court, in terms of section 276, can impose a sentence of correctional supervision directly, and then conditions must be imposed in that section. It's different to the other clauses in clauses 56 and 57, where the court deals with lifers. And the minister is now proposing in terms of the text of the bill. I just wanted to clarify that.
Just saying that it, the court must remain like that, and we delete the minister.
All right.
Can I just clarify that the minister should also be there? If the delegation for lifers, for instance, go to the minister, then the minister also has. We must have the power to put parole conditions. So the minister must also be part of that section. It looks like the parole board makes recommendations to the National Council for parole placement for lifers. And the National Council then advise the minister. And then the minister must have the power to put that conditions for parole placement. As it stands there, it must actually make for a court who are dealing with lifers, but if we take the route to that the minister take the responsibility. That's right. They stay there. Court must be there.
Before we move to something else, I think on Tuesday we must have a clean bill with all the amendments and everything Tuesday when we meet, so that we must be sure what we are saying. Because we are dealing now piecemeal on things. When we meet Tuesday morning, we must have a very clean thing. So that's, And the other one, you see, on page 16, where the minister appears. Let's deal with it.
Years. The proposal is that we should reverse the position as prior to 1998 with the minister, and as he is currently doing with people's centers before 2004, that on the recommendation by a parole board to the National Council will make a recommendation to the minister, who will then take a decision on the issue of whether a person serving a life sentence will be put on parole or placed on parole. That's basically with all with the section that's dealing with the CRH.
But you see, according to me, then we are going back again. Because now the minister determines now. We are going back now.
I just want to make sure, are you referring to this document, page 16, or the bill?
The bill, sorry, that's page 17.
That's correct in terms of persons serving a life sentence, that is the proposal in the bill. Chairperson, maybe in terms of the submission that was made, I think the submission by Professor Slot Nielsen and Professor Doug von Smith also supported that, if I have to look at the submissions, that the matter reversed back to the prior to the previous position where the minister decides on the parole, on this recommendation of the parole board and the National Council. We also indicated in our presentation the other day that the previous period for consideration was 20 years. So all the persons sentenced to life prior to 2004 will still be considered for parole after serving 20 years. When you indicated that for the next 20 years, the minister will still take decisions on those cases. And the courts will only start considering life after 25 years, 25 years since 2004, which means in 29 years' time from now, the first considerations will be done by court. And so it does thought that the situation, the minister takes the decision, and he will still take that for the past 50 years to align that with the situation prior to the 1998 Act.
It will be the NCCF with the National Commissioner and to be ratified by the Minister.
That is what we are saying. That the Minister must be last. He must be the last person. The last person. The National Commissioner, the National Council, and then the Minister.
Chairperson, we must also remember that the determination of the period that Lysis will say is also subject in terms of the proposal to this incarceration framework. So, if we, depending on how, if the incarceration framework is accepted, the same rules will be followed to determine the period the person will have to serve life. But over and above that, there are this submission from the Department in terms of the bill that this incarceration framework, and say for instance the incarceration framework is approved by way of regulation, it will determine the period that the person has to serve before being considered for parole. Life as well as determined sentences, other sentences. So when that period is determined, after that there must be a decision on parole. So you'll either have the Correctional Supervision and Parole Board, which will, in accordance with the incarceration framework, decide on the parole of persons serving determined sentences, or you'll have the minister, that's the other proposal, you revert back to the position prior to 1998, that will then determine the parole of persons serving life sentences in accordance with the period that's already been determined in terms of the incarceration framework. I don't know whether I make myself.
We are going back. We are really going back to square one. You see, both clauses here. If you check this other one that you are adding now, the period determined by the minister. You see, and we are saying from our side, why are we not saying the national commissioner in consultation, and we can work out the minister, the land, Mr. Navarra.
I'm still lost. I think I'll be trying to say if I understand this, because I'm a little bit lost. I'm not conscious, Mr. Chair.
Yeah. No, you see,
what?
In 73, we agreed. We agreed that the National Council
we don't want here. Okay, Mr. Peterson.
In other words, we have a situation that the National Council, in consultation with the Commissioner, will determine the incarceration framework to be ratified by the Minister. Then we also have the situation that you've got different bodies that will take decisions in terms of that incarceration framework. In other words, if the incarceration framework is approved, let's take the example of a parole board, further serving as determinate sentence. The parole board will then, in accordance with the incarceration framework, determine the parole of a person. Then you have the other category, namely persons serving life sentences. The current provision in the Principal Act is that such a person will have to be referred back to the court for consideration of parole. Then, in terms of the bill as it is at the moment, there was a provision that the minister should be substituted for the court. So that's the question of whether the proposal about the NCC consulting with the commissioner to be ratified by the minister will also be the situation where there's decision to be taken about the person serving a life sentence. I'm just asking that.
Chairperson, thank you. I see the dilemma, but I think it's a consequential one that flows from our earlier decision to bring back the incarceration framework. I think what you've said earlier is that we must have a clean bill that will try and clarify these issues in the light of what we've decided. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, we're going to really have a difficult time.
Thank you. I just want to add from what Mr. Carroll was saying. You've got two separate issues. The first one is the determination of a period. That period needs to be specified, needs to be spelled out in the legislation. Like in terms of other offenses, you serve half of a sentence. In terms of life, you serve 5 years. That was described in the legislation. But now, that power is being removed from the legislature to the executive. That one is clear. The determination of the court should be served before you can be considered for parole. Then the second issue is the consideration, the granting of the parole. That one is the persons who are responsible for that. At the moment, it's the court who's considering the parole, who's granting the parole. It's also the parole board that are also responsible for that. So now, what we're doing in this section, we are removing the court, the part of the court to grant or to consider the parole. And the minister should do that. In the first instance, you won't be involved in the determination. The determination of the period will be done by the National Council. But in the second instance now, the minister will have to consider or grant the parole with regard to life sentence, guided by that framework, the sentencing framework. in order for him to decide on any field that he will use, he must also follow the instructions, the guidelines set up in the framework. So I think there are two issues. One is taking the unit subject now to the department.
But you see, nobody can overrule the decision of the minister. If the minister is going to determine before, nobody can overrule the minister. Not the NCC, not the commissioner, not the parole board, nobody.
The person is unsatisfied with the decision of the minister, can always go to court.
I think now I understand what is the situation, and I think my colleagues will accept that. I mean, it's like now, because remember, the minister has got a final say in his part and parcel in determining. Now you want to take away the cause, again, to bring in the minister. And I think there might well be some problems there. I don't understand, why, because I think the question here is, give the committee a motivation as to why the court should be disempowered in the process of administering the parole, not in determining, but in the process of administering the parole. I'm looking at motivations that are, if the department were to say, look, the problem we are experiencing is, for example, when this person has now served 25 years, he must come back to court. Probably there are not even records to look into this instance. And then the question is, why would you then go back to the court if the court is not really going to assist? I think that's the sort of motivation we're looking at. And I'm not suggesting that it be, of course, the motivation. But I'm saying we need to get that sense. Are the courts failing? How are the courts failing in view of this new power that they're given? I think that's basically the motivation.
Chairperson, can we go and consult with the legal team and come up with something that's agreeable based on the discussions that we had on Section 73A when we've been updated to save our this debate?
No, I can assure you that he's articulated the dilemma quite adequately, apart from the fact that some of those initial judges are no longer there. But let's come back and clean it up.
From our side, I will say that I fully understand and agree the dilemma of the department going back now and then to the court. The example that Mr. Navarra made, a judge or a magistrate is no more there, and you must have the documents and papers of the court there. This person is sitting there. There must be a decision. Why are we not saying that the department must take that responsibility, and the NCC or the National Commissioner or whoever. But we are really going to run into. I mean, that is it's a factual situation now. You are facing it every day, that problem. So why can't we do something that is practical?
Just want to add that if you have the framework there now, it gives you the indication with the military's part and parcel of one can look into somebody else, even the commissioner, because the framework are there. He can approve like to do that. I don't know why this minister, I really don't know, but as I was standing, Section 136 with the transition arrangement, it was the minister.
No, I think part of what makes this discussion difficult is that you're dealing with different provisions now. Remember, there are people affected by prior 94, after 2004, and the incarceration act. And I think we should think through all these things so that in amending the act, we do not make it difficult for the administration of justice as it pertains to people who were affected by previous amendments. So let's ask the legal people to think through all those implications and
come back on Tuesday.
Hope and pray that the emergency can strike again to a new degree where it will affect the proposal that you have come up with. I only hope so. Otherwise, we are going to have a new debate and it will be a prolonging. I'm saying that I only hope that they mustn't come up. You know, this thing, according to me, I'm not a legal person, but according to me, Mr. Creek asked the question. You don't know why the minister, we can include the national commissioner in there, in consultation with the national council, and so on. Yes, yes, sir.
I think some of these issues that we're grappling with are necessitated by this change. You see, problem with amending a bill. You might think you're amending a particular clause and it's got a direct bearing on other provisions. And at this stage, it's difficult for us to pinpoint all of those. And that's why I agree with the suggestion that let's perhaps go back and look at these new suggestions and what effect they're having and how those effects can be adequately addressed. So I think let's come up, try probably on Tuesday, come up with a clean bill where we will have moved a little bit forward and deal with it in that context.
On page 14, there is where placement and release, an offender may be prepared for placement, release, and immigration. Why the mark? An offender mark. You see, when if we are talking about mass, you are saying that people with 24 months and are not going through rehabilitation programs. But you are saying that an offender must be prepared for release and reintegration as participating in release programs. But you are saying that a person serving 24 months is not going through, or accepting.
You're referring to a clause pertaining to the sentence planning, where we are saying those serving sentences of less than 24 months should not necessarily have sentence plans. This is the issue of generally. So unless we say that plea release is an integral part of sentence planning, that's not my understanding. So even though you may not have had a sentence planning, there must still be some discussion prior to your release. And we, I think that's the distinction that I can see here.
Okay, thank
I think the standing procedure, all persons went through a pre-release center, a pre-release program, and even the offenders under 24 months, as we proposed, will also go through a pre-release program. So all of them went through a pre-release program.
The issue of what of the judge, why are you releasing the president? Why are you releasing the president? And it must only go to the minister.
Chairperson, if I may respond,
yes.
Again, if we can get the clean bill, it will be clear. That is one of the provisions that we say we are going to omit because we will revert to the position prior to the bill in terms of the. In other words, it's one of those clauses.
Thank you.
I think that we will come back on Tuesday morning, and then have a clean bill, so that we must go through it, and also an explanation and an answer on this one of the minister that we have. We are flat now, so that we must have clarity. But I only hope and pray it mustn't take us there. I really want us to move forward. We have moved today. We have moved today. The issue of the inspecting judge, we are also having a problem there. We are having a problem. I'll tell you now. Let me just come to that one. We are saying that the inspecting judgment powers to investigate, and the department is saying no. The department is saying no. So we must also come up with something. Something, yeah. The appointment of the CEO will be, yeah, that's fine. Reporting on fraud and corruption on page 22. Reporting on fraud and corruption is not part of the objective of the inspecting charge office. However, like any other, I'm saying that I think that we can find a way. Let's come back on Tuesday on these two issues. On these two issues. May Winnie Gwenya also raised an issue about the liquor. And let's flag that one as well for Tuesday. But let me thank the commissioner and the team for this very good briefing. A very good, well prepared document. And it has helped us, and even the changes that we have bring in into the bill, we really want to thank you. It really helped us a lot that we must move forward. Members, thank you very much. I know it's weekend that you want to go home. Cape Town is not home. But thank you very much, the legal state law advisor, Mr. Navarra, Nadia, and everybody here. Thank you very much for being and participating and helping us. We really appreciate it. Tuesday morning, I think we are going to start 9 o'clock again, so that we must have from 9 until 1 o'clock, so that we must. Maybe it won't even be necessary to go from 9 to 1. But let's put it. But you see, you are flying in. Let's put it 10 o'clock. We are starting at 10 o'clock Tuesday. I don't think that we are going to have to go until maybe 1. But let me thank all of you. And the meeting is adjourned. Enjoy the weekend. Thank you.